Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my beautiful co-host, Veronica. Hi, darling.
Hi, Jackie.
Sorry for the congestion tonight. I ate something today that I knew better, and I'm just sitting here in a little pile of phlegm.
Oh, no.
That's soy, and soy just doesn't like me.
Me too. It's not good for me either. Oh, that'll add a little dimension to the show.
Oh, that ought to, absolutely. So, tonight's show, core beliefs. Oh, my God. I have so much to say tonight. I mean, fun stuff. How do they influence our lives and drive our realities? And how do we identify core beliefs? These are the stuff that creates our realities. And then there's all the subset beliefs that feed birth from them. And I have been playing with this stuff. I've been having such an amazing time. And really, all this is wrapped around going to other dimensions, lining up with other dimensions. Because if we take those old beliefs with us, what's the point of making the trip?
Really?
And so this is, you know, because people have been saying to me, you know, well, I want to travel to other dimensions, and I want this and that and the other thing. And, you know, it comes back to, and the team's been saying, too, no, you know, go for one thing. But remember, you don't want to take all these old beliefs with you. What's that stuff that hangs on whales?
barnacles?
You know, barnacles. These are the barnacles. And unfortunately, they're not just barnacles. They still run our lives. So, anyway, tonight we're going to look at some of these beliefs, and I think Veronica, the team, is saying that you get to be the guinea pig.
Because oh, good.
Yeah, I like that. I know you'd love this. And
as long as you make me laugh, I'm all right.
And I have some beliefs that came up this week for different people that I'm going to just kind of, but I want to share this one portion. I don't even have time to read stuff that comes in anymore. But the team in its infinite wisdom said, pick this up and go to page 2, and I did. It is positive to rethink the outworn attitudes and painful emotions you had in the past and upgrade them to your current version of a compassionate reality. This is a time to apply blessings of unconditional forgiveness to all painful patterns. So this stuff is coming from every direction. You are a new self, and you exist at a new frequency, and the old event is touching into, a lot of this has been coming up for people, the new frequency for healing, clarity, and resolution. And I would say this is a third piece of this whole matrix. When this frequency intersection transpires, it changes the old timeline of the original painful event recorded in your cellular memory. And I had this happen, so I'll kind of tell the story as it drives home. Try to have patience through this process. We can feel the anticipation of the other shoe ready to drop, as we may feel a subtle undercurrent of directional movement brewing behind the scenes. In the new energy, events transpire with immediacy and spontaneity, so get ready for the push forward next year. It's already happening. The push will be for your participation with the new. This is all in bold letters. An improved self, with the new and improved self, while interacting with the old world in new capacities. Your new self will have more resiliency and less gravitational pull into the painful density or dramas being played out. Yeah, being played out in the environment, because this is a big issue. No matter where one is at their personal spiritual evolution, this time will require a new level of, again, personal participation, either within themselves or within the outward mirror of their own reflection in others. So I love this because I'm thinking I'm so deep in this whole, and I'll tell you how strong it is in my energy field. This is such a great story. For those of you who may not have listened, I had a healing with cancer. I was working on aligning myself with another version, a parallel reality where I had perfect cells. In so doing, I have reports back of having a healthy bladder, first time in 11 years, and no cancer. According to other tests, they ran all kinds of tests to make sure there was no cancer. And this is all so fabulous. And I noticed all these amazing changes in myself. My tastes had changed. You know, I'm changing my hair. I have to wear, this is so stupid, I have to wear cashmere. I have to wear pearls. It's, you know, people that know me, it's like, what? Walking around in my house by myself with cashmere and pearls, which is very funny. But it's fabulous. I can't even begin. And the team is even playing me with me with all this stuff. I mean, if I go online to buy something, if they don't like it, they like take it off my computer. I mean, it's getting pretty wild over here. And that's putting it mildly. So, and before I go into the beliefs, I went to my chiropractor and I went to the wizard. The other one was my angel one, was helping family last weekend. And I walked in and he said, and I had been to him the week before, the other one was gone as well. And he said, I'm not doing adjustments on you today. And I said, why? He said, because you got something going on here. This is belief oriented. There's something going on here. And we're going to change the belief. And I'm sitting here looking at him thinking, you got to be kidding me. It's not like I had told him. I kept looking for the sign. I'm working on core beliefs, you know, but it wasn't there, obviously. So he immediately started tapping into, there was one really big one that centered around the team and my work. And which I was fascinated by, and because I said, well, it's the way I sit, and, you know, I'm going to channel my head, hand, blah, blah, blah. He said, yeah, yeah, no, just be quiet. And he gets to this one, and immediately I start to cry. And he stood back away from me. He said, I want you to pay attention to this. This is not emotion, it's feeling. And whenever you see somebody go into feeling like that, this is a feeling that just emerged from you. Not just a feeling. And I'm like, I got it. It was so cool. He said, what are you feeling? And he had already told me that, you know, I go, no. The team has big plans. And, you know, I sometimes have internal conflict, which I think we all do, with how am I really capable of moving forward to do this, or all this confidence that they seem to have in me. I know they think, I think sometimes they don't realize that as a human, I don't always have conscious access to everything. Hello. You know, we meet in the dream state, and I'm sure I sound very smart, but I'm still a human. And then he went into two others, just boom, boom. And he said, I'm fat. And I said, well, I don't think I'm fat. He said, I'm telling you, it's there. I'm fat. So I dismissed that one, right? Ha ha. And then he got to men. And he said, in men are shits or something to that effect. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that one's there. No question about it. You know, now we're talking about men in my personal relationships, not men in general. So this was a very, and so he's tapping me on the head, rewiring, blah, blah, blah. And I leave there, and I go to try a car. Literally, went right from there over to the car dealership. And I'm in this car, and this man, the salesman, is reaching across me saying, we'll do this and do that. And I said, look, I had an ex-boyfriend who had this car. I know how to drive this car. I'll be fine. He says, well, I've been top salesman here for 30 years. I bet I know him. What's his name?
<Uh-oh>.
So I tell him, and he says, oh, my God. He and I were friends for 40 years, have been friends for 40 years. He said, but, you know, he just killed himself.
Woo!
And I had to pull the car over, and it was cold. I had to turn on the air conditioning and roll the windows down. I went into such shock.
Was this RM?
No. It was John. And John was quite well known in Las Vegas, blah, blah, blah. Been a very successful businessman here for many years in the mortgage business. And he told me, he said, well, his daughter called me crying. You know, I mean, if they'd been friends for 40 years, even before he got in the car business, they had really been friends. And we talked about a lot of different things. He knew people that I had never met. But, I mean, he was really quite intimate with John. And he's a good Christian man. So, and it took me a while to kind of, because I had gone into shock. It shocked me so. And I really didn't know what to do with it. And it took me a few minutes, and then I kind of got my composure back and so on. I had a lot of things to do that day, and I thought, well, when I get home, I'm going to go on the computer and, you know, see the obituary, what the newspaper articles had to say, because he killed himself, and he lingered, which made me think he probably shot himself.
Hmm.
And because he was, anyway, carried a lot of cash, so he carried a gun.
Hmm.
So, I go about my day. I get home that night. I go on the computer. There is not one word.
Hmm.
And this was a very well, I mean, really well-known man in town. And his best friend was a state senator. Hmm. Nothing. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, wait a minute. And then I realized I had shifted to another dimension.
Hmm.
Okay. And, you know, the team has said all along, when you make that shift, strange things can happen. People can disappear. And I'm thinking, holy mackerel. Now, this was a very unhappy man. Okay. I totally understood that he reached the point where he did this. But it was still the shock of finding out. And so I really had to kind of internally regroup, okay, with the fact that there was nothing whatsoever with his name on the computer. His websites were gone. Everything was gone.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. So now, years ago, I went and had a session with Dolores Cannon, and the team talked to Dolores, and it's in the third convoluted universe book towards the end. Through the ascension process, that people could disappear from our lives, and we'd say, oh, poor dear, they died. Okay? And this came flying back at me because if there had been all kinds of stuff on the computer and an obituary in Las Vegas and this and that, you know, it would have been okay. And right now, Las Vegas is kind of crying for news because, you know, the economy is slow and there just isn't a lot going on. They're not building big casinos. And so, you know, they look for everything. And so I really thought back about what the team had talked about to Dolores that she subsequently used in the book about people disappearing. And then, again, the team talking about this was shifting dimensions. Very big stuff. And so because I, the next morning after going, by the way, that night when I got ready for bed, the I'm fat thing hit me like somebody threw ice water in my face. And I remember, I said, my God, it came from my mother. She was obsessed with my weight. She wanted me to be in the movies. Was hauling me to every agent in Hollywood and kept me locked up. And, you know, I mean, it was so, and I had a thyroid problem. She didn't even know it. But aside from all of that, she was so obsessed and would often say to me, "You're fat, you're fat, you're fat." There it was, lodged. Okay? And it was running my life. But I wasn't aware. And it just came, when it came in, I was like, "Oh my God, thank you so much." So that night I went to bed. I asked the team to please continue to work with me. I woke up the next morning, ran downstairs, got my tablet where I put a lot of information, things that are coming in, and just started writing beliefs and subset beliefs. And this stuff was just pouring out of me. And I'm like, oh my Lord. And you know, it's amazing, Veronica, for as much as we do this work, that we're still carrying this stuff around.
I know.
Okay? But we do. No one is exempt.
Well, we're tremendous libraries, aren't we? I mean, we've got so much stuff in us from gosh knows where, hey?
Absolutely. So, another piece of this, and I want to share this, because this has come up in the sessions this week with the team. Because of the transition that we're going through economically, or appear to be going through economically, I'm gonna qualify this, that we appear to be going through economically, men who have always been hunters and gatherers are going through tremendous stress because their position, their role, is in the process of changing. They don't have a place to go to hit a home run every day.
Mm-mm.
And so they're going through a lot of dramatic change and shift as women are becoming more empowered and moving up. Now, again, I'm talking generalization, so please know that I'm not trying to offend anybody here. I'm talking in general. Women are becoming more and more empowered because they've been so diligent about their spiritual growth, majority of them, all right? Not all women, but, you know, certainly the ones that are listening to this show or to your shows, you know, and to many things on BBS Radio. So as I'm seeing this emerging, and I have a lot of ridiculously wealthy and powerful clients that as I'm seeing the symptomologies evolve, it's been fascinating to me to see what's happening as these people who have been so successful, as the bottom of the foundation is falling out from under them, where they're going with it. And I'm seeing a lot of feminine characteristics surfacing in the men and a lot of masculine characteristics surfacing in the women.
Oh, really? How interesting.
Yeah, I'm seeing this kind of switch over.
Hmm.
And I'm just going to share some things that... We just did a session with somebody. Men are emotionally unreliable. Men are liars. Men are weak. Men are self-centered narcissists. Men have a grandiosity about them, their ways of describing themselves. Men complain, okay? Men are martyrs. Again, the team helped this person with this stuff, kind of put it into the proper perspective so that we have...
But these are her beliefs, are they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They overgive in order to appear to be more. Men are fragile. Now, this is really interesting as all this is evolving. Okay? Men are drama kings. I love this. Talk about a reversal. Men are martyrs. Hello. Men are tiresome, emotionally unstable. Women are stronger than men and more powerful than men. You have to kind of walk around them and look for the right time. They didn't get to a... timing is everything. This was it. Okay? They have to be in the right mood to really hear you. You have to dance around them.
Is this the woman who makes the money in the family? Or?
No!
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Absolutely not. And that the ego in the male is more fragile. Now, how fascinating is this? Okay. A few more. I have to sacrifice to be successful. I'm always lonely. I can't have friends. A lot of people don't even have time. Friends are like a luxury.
Mm.
Or I'm not available to my friends. I'm too busy doing whatever. One of mine was, I'm not worthy for all the confidence that the team has in me. This was a really interesting, okay, which, you know, I have to really work on, and I could see where this was kicking in.
Hmm.
And it was sitting in there very, very deep. And this is the one he found, my back stuff, it's my upper back, okay, that I was carrying this load, feeling like I was had so much laying on me that I was carrying. And, you know, I'm going to go back to this. This is so fascinating. Illness is the misdirection of creative energy.
Aha.
Okay. So, of course, I find this statement this week and go back to, you know, some things I've been through. The misdirection of creative energy. How fascinating is that? So, you know, I started playing with some of these. I am loved. I hold back the flow of energy because I didn't think I deserved it. Lots of people with deservability issues, especially those that don't know who they are yet. And we don't. We're just turning the corner now to begin to understand who we really are, to come out of the amnesia. I have to give up things I love to move forward. This is a fascinating one. And I don't know about other people, but I know this is one of mine. Okay? So, did I bring more? Or was that it? I think that's pretty much enough. Oh, I think the other one is men are emotionally unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one, through all the sessions I've done, fathers fall into one of several categories. They're either rageaholics, alcoholics, emotionally unavailable, or really great guys. But the emotionally unavailable by far outweighs everything in terms of fathers. Emotionally unavailable, emotionally distant.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I continue. It's the subset. You know, it's getting to the core belief of and
so the thing about men are emotionally unavailable, that belief, couldn't some of that just be coming with us for generations and generations?
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Veronica. Absolutely. Because they have been the hunters and gatherers. They've had to work hard. And if we go back generations, okay, they did work hard. They worked long, long hours. Majority of them work 6 days a week, from very early in the morning till late at night. I mean, you know, this has been historically. So it's not like when you get home, you have a whole lot of ha-ha to, you know, to share.
I know, and I've had some hilarious experiences because they're so paradoxical, where men will be sitting on my couch and start bawling their eyes out and say, I just can't get a hold of my feelings. And it seems so paradoxical, but you sort of understand that some of them will say, they just start to come, and then I shut them off. I don't know how to get to the button. And I always used to tease them and say, well, you can't go and kill the mastodon if your knees are shaking. So, you know, I think it's kind of intrinsic that they have that protection against falling apart into their emotions, maybe.
That's true, except they are going, you know, we know that we are embracing more of our masculine and feminine, whether we are a male or a female right now.
That's why I like it when they're crying about it. I think that's perfect.
You are a little.
And usually they get the humor too. They laugh too. You know.
Well, I really believe that as what I'm seeing is, and it's an interesting phenomena, that there are a lot of very powerful women out there. And what's been interesting to me is that as they're evolving, so many of them realize that they're far more powerful than their powerful husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is amazing. And I think, you know, we've heard before that women are going to make profound change on this planet, that they are definitely emerging, and I'm seeing it with the people I work with. They are emerging in huge ways.
But that's interesting, because as we're emerging, the fellows, and you've already said this, the way they, you said they can't always hit a home run or whatever, the way they were has to fade. So they're not emerging in, you know, at, they're emerging as a new masculine, but I mean, their old thing can't
they're breaking
emerge.
Down. They're
yeah.
breaking down because
they
their
should.
Old structures are breaking down.
Yeah, and
the thing,
they want that. The conscious ones want
they do.
That. It just leaves them a bit flummoxed.
Well, a lot of them will go into, they'll run down emotional highways. You know, they're still in that process, okay, of coping. They're trying to cope.
You mean to go buy a GTO?
Not that so much, Veronica, as coping in terms of, I have to be careful what I say on the air. Some of them aren't coping. Let's put it that way. Some of them are falling apart.
Yeah.
Some of them are emotionally devastated as they see themselves losing everything.
Yeah.
And their legacy, their family legacy, etc. It's a very different... Now, again, I'm not pointing to just people who have a lot of money, but I look at them archetypally. And because the other side of that is we have so many people who have already lost everything, you know, and having great difficulties. The whole point of all of this and with the team... Well, I'm going to bring the team in and let them talk about it, but... it's such an amazingly pivotal time. And I see these options to create things totally different, and it excites me beyond words. For me, it's like I'm a dog with a bone right now. You couldn't get this bone away from me if you tried. I get very excited and because I see that we are at this crossroads and we can take this road of, it's going to require work, but it's elegant versus the road of drama and uncertainty and victim and all of the other things that are coming at us. So, okay, let me bring the team in because I know they've got their banging at the damn door. He's like, let in. Oh, God, we've been having some fun. Okay, I guess I have to do this with a light on since they won't. Nothing is working right now. Electric in my house is completely kaput. All right. Well, at least she's paying attention to signals. All right. All right, everyone, welcome. All right, very exciting times. Very exciting time. All right. Now, walking in dominion. When you absolutely understand what your beliefs are, how you create your reality, and how you can change those beliefs and change your reality, you walk in dominion. When you walk in dominion, you walk with a sense of safety and compassion. Do you not, Veronica?
Yes, you do.
All right, and for all of you who are all here to make a difference in your own unique way, but vibrationally, each one of you, your vibrations, your frequencies on this planet are very important. We cannot emphasize that enough. And how do you keep a high vibration and frequency? By feeling safe and secure and in dominion. That you know, that you understand how to create your reality. And if it's not working, how to go in and find out why. Now, dear Bonnie has done tremendous work. We know the channel is waiting for her to get a damn book out. And certainly she's creating all kinds of tools that will be showing up on her website. But homework for all of you is to look at your reality. Now, for many of you, it's difficult to figure out what you believe. You may think you know, but if you can hook on to one belief and then start feeding from there, all right? All right, Veronica, we're going to use you, and we don't want to
be the guinea pig.
All right, we're not going to embarrass you, so if you get uncomfortable, you just say uncle.
Okay.
All right?
I'll put a bag over my head. No, nobody will see me.
All right. Tell us something you very much want. Don't be worried about what it is.
Okay.
And that you don't have it yet, and you have any level of frustration that it's not there.
Something that I want, or want
well,
to be?
Yes. Something you desire, something you deal with. You all know when you have things that aren't working perfectly.
Yes, okay, I've got a few things, yes.
All right, share with us one that you feel comfortable sharing.
I'll go back into the television show because we've been through that one. People have all heard that.
All right. The television show.
Yeah.
All right. What do you believe about people that are on television?
That they're stronger, that they know how to go forward, that they know what to do.
People are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about how you feel. This is how you believe that the people on television are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe yourself to be strong?
Yes, I do, actually.
So Veronica,
but I get scattered.
All right, so we have a belief, I get scattered.
Yes.
All right, why do you get scattered, do you know? What is your belief about why you get scattered?
You'll like this. It's because I have a Mars in Pisces.
Oh, my goodness.
That makes me laugh.
We hope so. So, you believe because you have Mars in Pisces, you get scattered.
Actually, there's a sadder belief underneath it that I'll never get anywhere. Somehow I have that belief. I will never get anywhere. It isn't true.
Okay, that's actually the core belief.
Yes, it is.
I'll never get anywhere. All right, so let's take that one. My goodness, you are scattered. We've got things written all over the place here. I'll never get anywhere. How about I'll never get what I want?
Okay.
Is that it? Is that more it? Or is it that I'll never get anywhere?
I think your beliefs. I know. I don't want to hang on to them either. As soon as you said, that's a given. I'll never get anything I want. Is that what you said? Because, you know, all of a sudden my heart hurt. My heart just ripped when you said that. So I think
all right. That's what we thought. There's the core belief. Okay. Now, under that is a subset. I'll never get anywhere.
Okay.
I'm scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. My Mars is in Pisces. You see how silly that sounds?
I know. I blame it for everything.
But it's belief, dear.
I know.
It's a limiting belief.
But that's how it was presented to me when I was very young.
All right. Hi, I'm Veronica. I have Mars in Pisces. I'm so sorry. Do you see how that sounds?
I know.
All right. So, I'll never get what I want. Where did that come from, Veronica? From a little girl?
Well, I think under that it's because I'm not very good, because I'm bad or something.
All right, so here, I don't deserve.
Right, you can't have that.
Is that it? I don't deserve to have what I want?
I think so.
It didn't ring.
Sort of. It sort of did. It's funny. I just feel like I want to say it's not right to ask. It's not right to want, really.
Okay, that's another belief.
Yeah.
It's not okay to desire.
Right.
Because it's selfish.
Mm-hmm. And what about everybody else?
Goodness sakes. Well, let's talk about, do you really believe your universe and your planet are that limited?
I guess I do, deep down. I think I'm beyond a lot of that, but it sure is hurting my heart to say these
things. It's there, but you see, again, dear one, until you examine these beliefs, you don't know they're there. Except that they show up in your reality. Don't they?
Yep, they sure do.
All right.
And then the culprit
becomes, my Mars is in Pisces. Look. Because there's not enough. So when you were growing up, were you limited on what you could have because you had other family members?
Oh, you bet.
Okay.
If there was a piece of bread missing, you're in big trouble.
Okay. So not only do you not deserve it, and you're not allowed to desire it, you're in trouble if you take it.
Yes. Because it hurts someone else.
Well,
you'll get in trouble if you take it is the one that's very important here.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow it's not okay. You don't have permission.
Right.
All right. And permission, I don't have permission, is sitting there somewhere.
Yes.
Permission has been a big deal for you. Interestingly enough, where do you go for permission? Now, we're going to say something. We're going to let you talk in a moment.
Oh, good.
This is based on earning.
Uh-huh.
I haven't earned it. That doesn't have to make logical sense.
Mm-mm.
But now we're getting into... Now, these are sitting in your conscious mind. They're just over there in the corner. I haven't earned it. I haven't done enough. I haven't given enough. This is a big one for you. You always feel obligated to overgive.
Well, I think one of the reasons for that is I always felt unwelcome. I wasn't welcome where I was, you know?
Well, that's... I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a conflict with that one. On the one hand, you know you're amazing. On the other hand, this belief keeps coming up. You're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're not enough. If you were enough, everybody would love you. Your family would be crazy about you. You're not enough. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to tell you a little secret. And you're going to see this in relationships, Veronica. Men with powerful wives, many of them, not all, for all of you that are listening out there, we don't want to get these emails. How dare you? But these men with powerful wives who are not feeling powerful are sniping at the wives. You didn't do that right. You didn't do this. Holding them to old standards of who they used to be to try to keep them small in order to continue to feel more than. Now, this applies to families, to friends, to lovers, to children. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to snipe at you to keep you small so I can feel like I'm more. And you had a lifetime of that. Do you understand?
I think I do.
We hope you do. We hope you're recording this show.
We are.
Good, because you're going to want to work with this material for a while. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
This is big stuff for you, Veronica. Now, people were using Veronica, dear Veronica, as the guinea pig to give you an idea of how to do this. To help you in any way that we can to get you going. Because, you know, we had somebody ask, well, how do I get rid of the ideas once I identify them? Well, we know Bonnie's coming up with some wonderful things that you can use. But once you identify them, all right, here's my old belief, here's the new belief, just the process of doing that will have a definite impact, especially at this timing.
Well, it's already changing how it's coming up in my body. It's changing quite quickly.
Exactly. When the channel discovered that this I'm fat came from her mother, She knew that the way she metabolized, her whole system would change as a result of letting go of that belief, of seeing that it was still there. All right? And when she went through it, she went to all of her subsets where I don't deserve to be happy unless I'm thin. I don't deserve to have a lover unless I'm thin. I don't deserve to be successful unless I'm there. These were all things that Mom taught her, deeply embedded. And so she had to sit with that whole thing around that belief.
Well, you know, when we were doing mine, I felt, you know, when I got down to I'm not welcome here, I knew I wasn't welcome in the family kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just saw it reverberate through everything I've done, that part of me that stands right back and watches and tries to make it okay or tries to ingratiate or tries to belong. Yeah, and it's just reverberating, and I'm really appreciative of that. That
I don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that show up in your interactions with groups? You can say, well, I had this other group and it was just wonderful. Yes, all right, here and there. But television as well. Because now you're projecting yourself. All right?
From that hiding place.
Now, you create your reality. It spins out of your mind, all right, and creates the illusion that you see before you.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you're holding these beliefs, you're spinning them out in your reality before you. Aren't you?
Yes.
All right. So they'll come at you. Projection or reflection, they're going to come at you because it's an illusion. This is why reality is subjective. I don't belong comes through when you're standing in front of or sitting in front of a camera. All right? It doesn't come across as, hi, I'm Veronica. I really like you. Here I am. Because there's always that hold back. I don't belong. I'm not enough. I don't deserve. If I take, it takes away from somebody else. Going back to a statement you made earlier, all right. Besides, my Mars is in Pisces. I don't deserve because there's not enough. I might get somebody else's. Family. Maybe they'll like me if I don't take any at all, if I just take the smallest little bit. So they can all have more. Now, what can that create? That can create passive-aggressive. Remember that. And you won't even realize. Oh, they're so good. They're so nice. Look at them. Look over here. Me. Passive-aggressive. It'll pop out when you least expect it. This is not to make you bad and wrong. What we're saying is, as you clear these out, not only will you feel better, going back to, let's see, the channel had a very good one. Oh, we like this one. Illness is the misdirection of creative energy. And we would add illness and aging. are the misdirection of creative energy. And if you've been around highly creative people that are in their bliss, their joy, their excitement, their passion, they appear to be ageless. People are always fascinated. Look at how vital and young they look. Haven't you encountered that, Veronica?
Mm-hmm, I have.
All right, there's some person that you've talked about that's 80-something years old, and you're fascinated by their energy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, this creative energy, you see, is crying to come out. But you need to give yourself permission. And for crying out loud, go to one of your charts and put a big X across Mars and move it to some other place. Now, we want you to understand, you can do that.
Hmm. I used to ask for an astrological transplant.
Well, again, take your power here. You're a powerful being. Cute story from Abraham many years ago. Neither of them, Esther or Jerry, knew what their date of birth was or their signs.
Hmm.
All right? Their astrological sign. They'd never read anything about it. Now, you put the weight on everything. We're encouraging all of you to walk in dominion. The channel has a friend who says, oh, I have a lousy chart. I'm never going to be with a man. I'm going to be a spinster. No matter how many times the channel tries to explain to her that she is choosing to allow that chart to rule her life, she absolutely does not want to hear it. And so it continues to rule her life. And by the way, really work with your beliefs around being scattered, will you?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now, it's time you talk about your shows, dear one.
I'm not sure who's coming up on my next show. I think it might be a woman from England named Josephine Sellers, and she's got a book called Parallel Reality.
Excellent. All right.
Yeah.
Yes,
but I might rerun some. I've got some amazing. Anyway, that's 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, and then we'll be back at 7 o'clock on Thursday with Radiance by Design, and then you.
All right. We're going to wait until tomorrow night. Tonight we might visit, but what we'd like you to do is try to find a core belief between now and tomorrow night. If you can do it before you go to bed, you call us in. Dear team, I found a core belief I really want to transform. I never feel safe. I never have enough. Look for a core belief. Try to not make it a subset. That's why we say you want to spend time with these. And like we did with Veronica, to get down to a core. When you hit a core, you'll know it. There's no question. You'll know it. We'll shoot for tomorrow night. Be certain, dear team. I found it. Here's my hand in the air. I found my core belief, at least one of them. You've got a number of them, not just one. I'd like to work with you on it. Now, what we'd like to see you do is not only find the belief, but also the subsets, and what the new beliefs look like for each subset belief as well as the core. Now, you're going to be amazed at how much better you feel and excited. This is not about being good or bad, right or wrong. This is about stepping into your power, people, into your dominion. And then when you want to work with shifting dimensions into another dimension, you're not going to be taking a pocket full of rocks, which are your old beliefs. What's the point? All right. Know that we love you all, dear ones. What a joy to be with you as we surround and enfold and infuse and imbue each and every one of you listening to this show, sending you out as much love as you could open to receive. Namaste, dear ones. Okay. Good night, everybody. If they haven't kicked us off the air, good night. We love you. Remember, we're part of each other. We're in you, you're in us. It's a wonderful to be with everybody. Veronica, I love you. Thank you for being the guinea pig. I hope it wasn't too shocking.
What can I say? I've got work to do.
All right. God bless you. They make me do it on my own. Okay. They do help, though. Until next week, good night, everybody. Love and blessings to everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Good night, Jackie.
Night, Seth.
Good night, everybody.